He's just weaving in and out of you ladies right now. Weaving out of in and out of the traffic of your life. Just bringing peace. Just sharpening areas that are dull. He's weaving in and out. Give him the liberty to do as he needs to do in your life. Just say, Father, do your will. Do your thing the way you know how to do your thing, and only you can do it. Take me out of the equation. Take me out of the situation, Father, and fill it with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How beautiful of an atmosphere you have created for the Word to come and operate on our souls. I just believe that the Holy Spirit really wants to work here this morning. He really wants to come and minister to us in our situations and our needs. And we've come every single week and we've said, yes, Lord, I hear the word. I hear the word. I'm trying my best to apply it. But sometimes you just need deliverance. Sometimes you just need Holy Spirit intervention. Sometimes you just need him to come and pour an extra alabaster jar on your head to give you the grace to walk it out. Father, we just ask that you would come right now. I just want to create the atmosphere right now for healing in this place. The Bible says that in our tongue, we hold the keys to life and death, and those that confess of it will eat of its fruit. You know what that means? That means that what comes out of your mouth, you will eat. What do we decree and declare over our lives? What do we confess every single day? I just want to confess into this atmosphere right now because I just want to create a spirit of life in this place. Are you with me, ladies, here this morning? I just want to create a spirit of healing in this place. So right now, I just stand in agreement with the will of God, which is the word of God, and decree and declare over every one of these lives that you are God of their life. I decree and declare according to Psalms 91 that with long life you have satisfied each and every one of these ladies with, and that you will protect us from the enemy and you will protect us from the attacks of the enemy. I decree and declare right now that any demonic force that has come to oppress, to steal, kill, and destroy would be sent back to the pit of hell where it came from. I decree and declare right now that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That we won't keep singing that sweet by and by, but we would know that the sweet by and by is here and now as we receive it. I decree and declare hope into the lives of these women. I decree and declare right now that their hearts would be open to hear your word and to receive it, that the seed would go in and plant and in time would bring forth fruit. I decree and declare right now, Lord, that our will would line up with yours in our life. In you, God, we live and move and have our being. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. Please come, Lord. This is your stage, and I humble myself at this place. This is stage Jesus. This is his words. Father, open our ears that we may hear. Open our eyes that we may see. Father, help us to see into the spirit world. Lord, help us to see that which comes up against us so we can stop it and say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. Father, help us to see the joy in the morning, the beauty for ashes, Father, in our lives. Help us to see it. Open our eyes, open our minds to understand. Open our hearts, Father, to receive the will of God and that which God is speaking to the church in this moment, in this night. Lord, that we may be like Esther and be here for such a time as this, Father. That we will not wonder why our existence is here, why we have no place. But Father, if we woke up and breathed in and out, Father, we know that there's a plan in you. There's a purpose for our life, Lord, and help us to step in it, to walk in it. Father, I decree and declare that your word would be established in our lives here this morning. In Jesus' mighty, mighty, mighty name. Amen. Can we give God a shout of praise here this morning? Because he's so worthy of it. Amen. He is so worthy of it. God is so good. And he's got such amazing plans for us. I need to lift this bad boy up. Actually, if I can just grab the bigger one. Bigger one? Bigger one? Perfect. Hey, thanks. Hey, thanks. Appreciate that. Thank you, that Stubborn. It's nice to have a man in the house. Amen. Uh-oh, this one's a little bit wobbly. Bible's going to fall off. Well, ladies, let's not be sad. Let's be joyous. I know this is the last one. But let's be joyful in that God's really spoke to our lives and he has done a new thing and now we get to go walk it out. Amen? Now we get to go put this stuff into action. Now we get to go be a light in darkness and to shine that flashlight into the places and the crevices where maybe the light doesn't get to. Now we get to do that. This one's short too. That's okay. We're just going to go ahead and lift this one up. There we go. I'm so excited about today. As I said last week, this is not on Ruth 5. There is no such thing as Ruth 5. This is actually what we're doing is we are going to bring the old. We know that the Old Testament is a constant foreshadowing of the New Testament. Amen. We know that Boaz was a picture of the kinsman redeemer who is Jesus, right? There's no better way than to end this whole study than to bring it all around with Jesus, right? And his journey home. Because there's significance to learn from what Jesus did when he entered into this world through the womb of Mary, into the place where he ascended into heaven and sat in his place called home. There is something to be learned of his journey here on home that corresponds to our life and how we are to live it out. This is only going to bring completion to what you just learned of Ruth. Amen? Because it was good, as it was not. Ruth gave us some incredible things about this journey, but Jesus, he's the ultimate journey we want to be on, amen? And we want to bring it round with him. No better way to end this story of Ruth than just showing y'all the reality of Jesus' journey and how he made it home. There's no specific verse we're going to turn to right now in the Bible. We'll be going to verses because Jesus didn't just come in one verse. Seriously, I'd have to spend all morning reading the entire Bible if we wanted to do that. So as I begin to speak and as the Holy Spirit leads me, we will go to individual verses in the Bible that I'm beginning to speak about. So just keep your fingers licked and keep them ready to keep those pages turned. Are you ready? I want to begin with Jesus was born a king. Was he not? He was born the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was born. It had been prophesied since the beginning of time through prophets. And prophets, Isaiah said, he is the king. He said, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, right? Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Constantly he is foretold as coming as this powerful and great King. So good. We worship the King. We worship the Lord of Lords. It was foretold that he would come as a King. Did you know that when you come into relationship with God, that you become part of that royalty and kingship? Do you not know that? You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, Peter said. When we come into that relationship with him, we become part of that kingsman. But we know what's so amazing? Jesus wasn't born in a castle. Come on. Jesus was a King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he was not born in a castle. He was born in a cave. Now, some people say he was born in a barn. That is not true. They didn't have barns back then. They were caves. And I know that firsthand because our church here is, they go to Israel. And they see this stuff and they study it and they know it. And it's a cave. It's a deep cave. That's where they would keep all the animals safe. He was born in a cave. What does this mean for my life? How does this correspond for me? The beginning root and what Jesus showed us as he was born into this cave. Well, that it all starts with humility. Come on. You know that humility is a big one. I teach on it all the time. In fact, Ruth chapter 2 was all about it. But Jesus was all about humility too. He constantly refers to it in the Bible as a humble and contrite heart. That's what I desire. When God said that David was like a man after his own heart, it's because David was a constant, humble man. He constantly came to God and said, "Forgive me, I am less, I need you, I don't know what to do without you." He was a humble man. Jesus teaches us when he ascends from heaven and he comes down at the beginning, he was a king, and yes, he was royalty, but he came in humility. Galatians 4:7 says, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir. But, ladies, we can't use our relationship to demand our wills. I know it's so easy to grasp the whole glory and bigness and excitement of coming into the kingdom of God. And now God's going to reward me. And now God's going to give me great stuff. And now I'm going to drive that Ferrari that I've always wanted. Come on, you know that in the back of your head sometimes. If I just do good, if I just do what God has called me to do, then I'll get those things that I kind of want or crave. No. Our relationship with him is not to demand our wills. I want, I need, I deserve, I get. We forget the humble beginnings of our King born in a manger. He did not arrive into this world with the smell of fresh flowers brought to him. He did not arrive into this world with warm blankets and the best of linens. No, he arrived into this world with milk rags that had been used to wipe the milk off of the cow's milkers. I was trying to be discreet in saying that. And he arrived into the stench of animal smells, animal dung. Things that are not nice to smell. That's what he arrived into. I'm going to tell you something. This tells us something about our situation. You got to listen up right now. When you come into the kingdom of God and you come into that relationship with Jesus, sometimes we think that all hell is breaking loose in our house and in our lives and in our situation. And it's not because you're doing something wrong or there's some big sin in your life. It's because now your eyes are awakened to the true reality of the evil in this world and the opposing forces against you and now where you stand and are going. That stinky stuff that you keep smelling, that's because your eyes are open and you can now see it and smell it and you know it's wrong. Come on, ladies. Sometimes, you know how you see people that are not in relationship with Jesus and they just keep walking and you kind of smell their stink. Come on. You kind of smell it and you sit there and wonder like, what in the world? Do they not smell that? Do they not see what they're walking right into? Come on, I'm not the only one that has wondered that. You're thinking, what in the world are they doing? They can't see it, ladies. They can't see it until you come into that relationship with Jesus and you start spending that intimacy with him and he starts revealing things to you and open your eyes. You now begin to see the things in your life that need to be cleaned up and cleared out. Your eyes are now open to see the sin in your life. With God's grace, as you choose, the reason why I want to say as you choose, because some of us choose not to move forward. Some of us feel comfortable in the barn, in the safe place where we started. But ladies, let me tell you what, Jesus didn't stay in that barn for very long. It is not God's will for you to stay in the stinky. It is his will for you to move forward and move out. As you choose to grow, he will get you out of it. Jesus did not live in the barn very long. He moved forward. But God started him here to teach us the origin of who we must be. And I'm going to say it over and over and over. The origin of who you must be is humbleness. If my people who are called by my name would just humble themselves and pray and turn from their evil ways, I, God, I, Jehovah Jireh, I, Jehovah Nissi, I, Jehovah Shalom, will come and heal their land. Come on, ladies. Why do you think there's so much opposition against the country right now and against this new place? Because the president-elect, come on, I'm not political here, but I'm just telling you, he desires to do things according to God's will, and that's why there's so much stinky. Come on. That's why there's so much stinky and stunk coming out everywhere. Because the eyes have been open. I want to talk a minute for just about humbleness for just a second, just a wee little bit. I know y'all know a lot. Y'all are scholars on humbleness here this morning. But I just want to teach you real quick about humbleness. Humbleness is not living humble. It's not driving an old car and wearing a shirt from last week. Well, I'm humble. I've worn this shirt 3 times. See, I didn't have to go buy a new one for Bible study this morning. No, living humble does not mean that you are humble. There are a lot of prideful people that walk around in old clothes, in old cars. Humbleness is, are you ready, an attitude of the heart and an action done in love. I'm going to say that again. Humbleness is an attitude of the heart and an action done in love. Humbleness is building others up around you. Putting others first. The Bible says that we should think more highly of others than ourselves. Ooh, really? The Bible says that? Uh-huh. Building others up instead of building yourself up in front of others. It doesn't take a lot sometimes to wear a shirt twice. But it does take a lot, especially for us ladies, to lay down our mouths for just a minute and ask someone else how they're doing, what's going on in their life, and then listening to them tell you. Come on. We're like, well, I asked him, but then you interrupt him and you start talking about yourself again. Who am I preaching to this morning? There's somebody here that's getting this morning. Someone's getting this morning. Maybe it's just me. I'm the only one that's up here this morning. Where can you take yourself to our knees so another can be lifted up? Just think about that for a minute. Matthew and Luke both teach of Jesus' humble beginnings. I don't have scripture for that specific, but you can go back to the beginning of Matthew and you go back to the beginning of Luke. They both describe the humble beginnings of Jesus in the cave and how he began. After you grow a little, sometimes our journey takes different routes. Come on. Someone needs to testify to that this morning. Jesus then began a time of unexpected travel plans. But his travel plans were taken not for personal gain, but for safety. I want you to turn to Matthew 2, verse 13. Matthew 2, verse 13. through 15. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. This is when they were still in the cave. He said, get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Verse 14, so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. Sometimes God takes us places with our family and our lives that were not planned, but were part of God's master plan. Come on, someone need to hear that. Sometimes God takes us into personal places that might not be fun. Escape routes in the middle of the night where you're having to flee certain situations. And it wasn't part of your plan, but it was part of God's master plan over your life. To fulfill, come on, because God is always about bearing fruit. He's not about just taking you and planting you and nothing coming from it. It's to fulfill the call on your life. This happened to fulfill prophecy over Jesus. This happened to fulfill prophecy. Can someone just give me an amen? Can someone just get that? This escape route in the night happened to fulfill prophecy over Jesus' life. Your unexpected turn, your unexpected change, your unexpected loss, your unexpected thing that you just don't understand may not be because of the devil. It might not be because of some big sin in your life, but maybe to fulfill the calling on your life. What if we looked at things differently, ladies, and stopped saying, well, the enemy's attacking me. What if God was protecting you? To save you from probably the worst thing that can happen on this world, in this world while living, not fulfilling the call that God has appointed you to. Come on, ladies, we fear death all the time. Oh, I'm scared. Oh, the results. Oh, the blood work. Oh, which is a scary thing. I understand it. But we get to go to heaven, which is an amazing thing. The scary thing is not doing what we were called to do here on earth. Not fulfilling our destiny, not doing what God took us out of heaven and planted us here to do. That's the scariness. We should wake up every day and say, God, don't let me miss it. Don't let me miss what you called me to do on this earth. Don't let me miss it. Don't let me miss the season, the time, the fruit. Put me in the right place at the right time. Put me in the right place at the right time so I can do what you have called me to do. So I can live the abundant and fulfilled life that you have called me to live. This happened to fulfill prophecy over Jesus. Testify. I can say this in my own life. God took me on some unexpected roads. Some unexpected roads that I would have never chosen myself. But those unexpected roads led me to this place right now, here. And I can testify now, thank you, Jesus, with only his love, that greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. God took me down some unexpected plans and some unexpected things that I would have never asked to do, but it took me into my destiny. It took me into my calling. It took me into the place where I wouldn't be sitting around unfulfilled, wondering who I am, and what I can do. I'm now walking in that. And I thank him for him every day. I thank him for the unexpected travel plans. I thank him for the unexpected routes. Because they can be part of where God's taking you. Stop looking at negative as negative. Maybe your negative is what saves you. Come on. Swallow. I said it. Maybe the negative in your life is what saves you. I have two really close friends that I share a lot of personal things with. But over the course of the last, I just messaged them this last week. But I'm going to share with you this morning right now because I think the Holy Spirit wants to do it. Over the last 8 years, I've struggled with a great amount of fear, obviously, because I almost died with my first ectopic pregnancy. And it brought a lot of fear in my life and panic and just, because of the circumstance. I don't know what you call that, PTSD. You can label it whatever you want to do, but it was traumatic what happened in my body, and it created this panic and uproar inside of me. And I would be driving down the, I've lost my phone. It's all good. I'd be driving down the highway, and it seemed like every time I would go anywhere, I'd always spot the cemetery. every time I would go anywhere. I don't care if I was in another state or just locally. It seemed like my eyes always went and gravitated towards the cemetery, and I hated it. I hated it because the enemy would taunt me and say, see, that's where you're headed. That's where you're going. That's where your destiny is, under the ground with a tomb on top of it. And I would fear, and I hated it, and I would just keep my eyes off of it. But then as I began to grow in my relationship with the Lord and intimacy with Him, I began to drive by the cemetery, and when I saw the enemy panicking me and scaring me and bringing fear into my life, I began to speak joy into that place and say, absolutely not. God has called me according to Psalm 91 that with long life He has satisfied me with. And I began to speak life where the enemy spoke death. And I began to speak the resurrection power of Jesus and who He was. And every time I would pass by the cemetery, I would begin to speak that life and that healing into my life. What I didn't realize at the time, that God was preparing me for my destiny. Come on, ladies. He was preparing me to get into people's graves and start telling them, come on, ladies, get up. Get up. Resurrect yourself. You can do it in the name of Jesus. You can come out of that place. Stop carrying those grave things around with you. Take off your grave clothes. You can live in freedom. Amen. What I was doing for myself, I thought I was just doing for me, myself, and I and my issues, but God was preparing me for where He was taking me. Because now I can get up here this morning and say to you, take off the grave clothes. I can look into your cemetery and say, God's got better plans than death for you. He's got good things for you. He's got goodness in the land of the living. And start resurrecting life where Satan has put a gravestone. That's what He came to do. He came to give us life. Stop looking at your negative as negative. That negative could be what saves you. Thank you, Jesus. Do your work here this morning. We cannot be burdened by unexpected routes. They are for your safety. Come on. Jesus was taken out of the cave for His safety. And eventually, your portion. We get to Luke 2:52. If you'll turn there real quickly. Luke 2:52. We get to this part of Jesus' journey after He was born in humility and humbleness, after He escaped the wrath and walked into prophecy and destiny and lived in Egypt. We get to this part of His journey. Are you ready? And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. I'm going to say it again. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You need to know that this one verse covers 18 years of Jesus' journey on home. Come on, ladies, come on. This one verse covers 18 years of His three-year ministry here on earth. Because we know He ministered for 3 years. This one verse is 18 years of His life. Time is growth. I want you to underline the word grew. That's the most important part of that verse. And Jesus grew. And Jesus grew. Every day, the most of the journey that you do here on earth will be growing. 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 Time is growth. We also want the drive-through anointing. We want the grace for the moment, grace for the hour. But God had to grow. Why can't we? Or I said my English wrong. Don't be mad at me. God had to grow so do we. So do we. How do you grow? Ah, that's the million-dollar question. Do you know that you grow spiritually the same way you grow physically? Because we are made in three parts, are we not? Spirit, soul, and body. And they are so interwoven and so much alike in our lives. We grow spiritually just the way we grow physically. Are you ready? Number one, you got to feed yourself. You got to feed yourself. If you want to grow physically, you got to eat. If you want to grow spiritually, you got to eat. Now, I'm not going to come too hard down on the church because I'm part of the church and the church is the bride of Christ. But I am going to tell you that there is some serious spiritual anorexia going on. No one reads the word anymore. Everyone just expects to get fed by the pastor on Sunday morning. And then they wonder why they're spiritual babies and they throw tantrums in their life and they constantly need a little passy. And they're not growing and nothing's happening in their life and they're staying this big. You gotta feed yourself every day. Don't rely on everybody else. We are called as messengers to come and excite you and get you excited about what God can do in your life so you in return can go to intimacy with Him and quiet time with Him and feed yourself. Feed yourself. Get into the Word. I don't care. You don't have to have 2 hours of Bible time every single day. If it's just one verse and you say it throughout the day, you're feeding yourself the Word. If it's a song that really ministers to your spirit, you're feeding yourself the Word. If it's a great podcast from favoritegrace.net, you're feeding yourself the Word. Come on. You're feeding yourself the Word. Get it in you. Get in, you stuff yourself full of His good word. It will change you. Amen? Number two, exercise. In order to physically grow, we have to exercise. In order for us to spiritually grow, we got to exercise. Exercise your faith. Now take what you have been eating and what you're fat on and go work it out. Go work it out. You've been feasting on healing over your body. Now get out of bed and start walking in that healing. You've been feeding yourself on the restoration of your marriage. Now go out and start giving your husband a massage and getting on your feet and soak his feet and wash his feet and serve him and work it out. You've been asking God to bring the prodigal son home. You've been feeding yourself with the word on what it is. Now exercise that. Do things. Do things in faith. There's a group that I'm a part of called Soul Sisters. Whoop! If you notice, my friend here holds up my iPad. She's recording for them. It's a group of about 150 women. And we're on this app and we all get on there and encourage each other every day. Just encourage each other in the word. Encourage each other. We have prayer requests. We lift it up. We pray for one another. Great group of ladies. There's a lady on there. Her name's Virginia. She has a son right now that's dealing with depression and anxiety. And it's very difficult because he does not want God's help. Come on, you know it's hard enough to deal with that with the help of God. But when you don't want it, as a mom, she's having to stand in the gap on behalf of her son. But she is not just sitting around saying, well, I hope he gets better. Well, I hope that he gets out of his depression. No, she's pleading the blood of Jesus over her home. She's anointing her walls with oil. She's writing verses out of life and sticking them under his mattress. So when he lays down at night, he is getting the word of God in him. And he doesn't even know it. And no, she hasn't seen any good fruit yet, but it's coming. It is coming in her life. It is coming because she is sharpening her tools. And she is exercising her faith. Virginia, I hope you aren't upset that I shared that. She is exercising her faith and believing that the word of God is the will of God over her son's life. And he will step out of darkness and he will fulfill the call of God on his life. You have been reading it, go out and do something with it. Go out and do something with it. There's nothing like faith in action that will grow you. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing like faith in action that will really stretch you and grow you in places you never thought possible. I don't do stuff in faith because I'm fearful and I'm scared. I do stuff in faith because I know the power of faith in action. I know what it can do because it's done a real work on me. Number three, rest. Rest. Now, this is not the kind of rest in contrary to exercising your faith. But rest your body needs physically to grow. Rest your body needs spiritually to grow. When I say rest, it means to rest in the Lord. Amen. Listen and abide to His word. Wait for Him to do the work. Amen. Believe in faith. Feed yourself. Exercise it in faith and watch Him do the manifestation of it. Rest. Come on. Sometimes we don't want to rest and we produce that Ishmael before that Isaac. And it causes great issues. Rest and wait. He will do what He said He will do. And if you don't believe it, then go read the Bible, because it fulfills every one of the prophecies that are in there. He will do it. Rest. In His timing, you see yourself begin to develop and grow. Have you ever been there spiritually? Come on, just go with me, ladies. You've been pressing into the Lord. You've been feeding yourself with the Word. You've been acting in faith and doing things out of the ordinary. And all of a sudden, you get someplace, you're over here, and you're like, hey, look how far I've traveled. Come on, anyone raise their hands with me? You have seen yourself grow in the Lord. You have seen it. It's just happened overnight. You didn't plan it. You were just doing your thing with the Lord, and all of a sudden, you're like, I'm 2 inches taller. Praise God. Come on, you got to celebrate. They celebrated in Nehemiah when the foundation of the temple was built. They had a huge old party. Sometimes the 2 inches is a big celebration. Go buy yourself a mocha at Starbucks. Go do something exciting. Celebrate what God's done in your life. Celebrate it. Be excited about what He's doing. He likes a good party. If you don't believe me, you need to go read the prodigal son. Are you ready? I'm not done here this morning. We still got some good stuff coming. Jesus grew, and then all of a sudden, He turned 30 years old. Here comes Jesus. Ooh, I love this part. Here He comes. I just imagine Him kind of like my husband in that picture, walking. Yeah. I've been growing. Growing. Here He comes down to the Jordan River to meet His good cousin John. Here He comes. This is the first time we see Jesus after He grew. He's coming down to the Jordan River, out of hiding, mature, grown, physically buff, spiritually buff, got the word in Him. Got the word in Him. He's coming down to the Jordan. Now, does He tell John as he approaches down to go down to the river, does He say, Messiah here, King of the universe, ruler of everything? Yes, I've come to save the people of Israel. That's me. I am He. Messiah here, walking down to the Jordan. Did He do that, ladies? No. Turn to Matthew 3. Turn to Matthew 3. I love this. Because He could have. He could have just been like, duh, I am. Because He was. He was. But He doesn't. Why? Because He wants to teach us something about this journey. Matthew 3, 13 through 15. Are you ready? Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Verse 14. But John tried to deter Him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? 15. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. All right, so what He basically was saying here, that Jesus was saying, I need you to baptize me into my calling and into the next stage of my journey. He's saying, I need to come under your authority and your leadership. You were called to prepare the way for me. I need to come under your authority. Come on, ladies. Jesus says, I must come under the leadership and the authority that is over me and ahead of me. before I can fulfill my destiny. Coming under authority takes humility, does it not? As we know, Jesus didn't go down to the river and say, Messiah here, saving Israel tonight. No, he said, I must come under authority and leadership. We must come under authority and leadership. We don't come and announce ourselves to everybody, telling them what we need to do and what we can do. We come under the authority and say, I come under you. I don't know, God, your husband, your family, the leadership in your church, whatever it is and wherever God is taking you, only you and God knows. You come under that authority and that leadership. The reason why they are there is to make things easier for you. It is to make things easier for you. Stop announcing yourself. God's got you covered. Because after Jesus comes under the authority of John, he comes up out of that. He came under that authority. He did what was right. And what does God do? He gets on the biggest microphone in the sky called heaven and says, this is my son whom I love and I am well pleased. Come on. What would you care for an announcement of like that from God? He waited. He came under the leadership. He came under the authority. And God said, okay, now I can announce you. Now I can say who you are and what you're called to do. You are my son, and I am well pleased in you. Wow, Jesus' journey teaches us a lot. Wow. Recognize those who have come before you and prepare the way. It's to make your life easier. Don't assume that you don't need anyone. We still want to take everything on ourselves. I'm strong. I can do it. My mother did it. My mother's mother did it. My mother's aunt, uncle, aunts, cousins, sisters done it. We can do it all by ourselves. No. The Bible says the first thing about man, it is not good to be alone. He creates help. He creates people to surround us, to come under authority and leadership and wise counsel, to get us through to the next place in our life. Come on, I need an amen right there. Amen. This makes life so much easier. Come on, we can testify in your home when the kids are obedient to the parents. Does it not make the life easier in the home? The same in the home that you create spiritually. Over the next 3 years, Jesus did many wonderful things. In fact, John says, if I could testify of all the things that Jesus did, I would have to write books and books and books and books. So as I began to prepare this lesson, I felt like the Lord said, there are three main things I want you to focus on that Jesus did over the next 3 years when he started his actual ministry here on earth. Number one, are you ready? Jesus spent time with the Father. The Bible constantly connects us him connecting back to God. Getting away with time with him. Come on, this is the Son of God. This is the man that has spent all eternity in heaven, was coming down on earth. He came down on earth and realized, this is tough down here. I need to stay connected with the Father. Just because you are being used of God doesn't mean you stop communicating with God. Check in with him always, daily, throughout the day. Check in with him. Get with him. Get alone with him. He always checked in with God. Spent that intimacy with him to get filled, because he was pouring out so much he needed to be poured back into. Number two, he developed close relationship with certain people around him. This is an important one. He developed close relationship with certain people around him. Why? Because within a home, support is necessary for growth. Anytime you plant a baby tree and you plant a support beam next to it, it grows so much quicker and better because it has support. We need support in our lives. We need to surround ourselves with godly counsel and close relationship. Now, that doesn't mean that you go out and say, okay, well, I'm just going to go out and grab 10 people and say, support me. Because I'm going to tell you something about yourself. You will pick all the wrong people. Because we try to pick people that we think are good for us. But I'm going to tell you something. The people that you think are good for you are not the people that are good for you. God always brings the unexpected people in your life. And you're like, what? I'm best friends with an 85-year-old. I don't get it. I mean, come on. How many can testify of that? What? My best friend is 69. I don't know what to do. I mean, what? We don't have anything in common. You know what? We do in Jesus. We always want to go grab the cheerleader and the quarterback. Come on. Oh, support me. Get on my team. Jesus did not have what the world would call popular followers. All of them a little crazy. Wow. But God will bring you, here's a tweetable moment, but God will bring you what you need and most importantly, what he needs to accomplish his will in you. You want me to do a repeat? Okay. We'll do a little repeat. But God will bring you what you need and most importantly, what he needs to accomplish his will in you. That's what it's all about. Him accomplishing his will in you. I don't know, I sat in small group last week over here, and one of the ladies was talking about how God had brought this circle of people around her, and she was like, these people are not people that I would ever pick for myself, but they were the people for me at that moment and at that time. Peter, John, whoever the disciple, all of Bartholomew, all of them, whatever, you know, all these disciples, they were probably not what we thought would be the kind of people to surround Jesus, but they were handpicked by God. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes one of them betrayed him. Why? Because God appoints seasons. I don't know what that was for. That wasn't planned, but maybe God's speaking to somebody right now regarding a Judas in their life. Well, I always thought they were going to be with me. I always thought they were going to be for me. Now they're talking about me. Come on. Don't you remember the 10 witnesses last week? Come on. Number 3, Jesus stepped out of his way to help others. He taught, healed, encouraged, prayed with others, laughed with others, had a good time with others, cried with others. That's every kid's favorite verse. And Jesus wept. Pastor, I know a verse. What? Jesus wept. He cried with others. He loved God and then he loved others. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. He loved God and loved others. Took time to bless others, whatever the need is. Some of them were expected and planned. Some of them were not. Keep your eye open to what God's doing in your life. Here we get to the end of Jesus' journey. Here we get to the end. The place where he is called. The place where he has been journeying this whole 3 years to go do. The place where he fulfills the call in his life, which was to lay down his life down so you may live. And this is the part when I said, oh, and I wanted to tear my clothes. Oh, you know how they did in the Old Testament when they were really upset? Oh. Come on, if you've read the Old Testament, you know what I'm talking about. They would tear their sackcloths. And I'm like, Lord, why does suffering have to be a part of the journey? Have you ever asked the Lord that? Why does suffering have to be a part of the journey? Why can't it all be tutus and tiaras and red heels and cute boots? Why? Why does there have to be burpees and squats? Why? Why? Then the Holy Spirit said so beautifully and so clearly, as he always does, Amanda, you saw it as suffering. God saw it as molding. Come on, ladies. We see it in the physical as I'm suffering. I'm suffering. God is looking down and saying, ooh, girlfriend, I'm molding you. Ooh, look at that corner. Ooh, that curve's coming in nice. Ooh, look at that. Ooh, a little rumbly over here. That's okay. I'm going to smooth it out. Do you remember in Jeremiah when God tells Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house? Who knows that part? He tells him to go down to the potter's house, and he says, go watch the potter at the reel. The potter at the reel is making this beautiful thing, and then it just falls apart and crumbles. But the potter doesn't take that off and put it out somewhere and get new pot. No, he takes the original mold and begins to bring it back to life. Come on, ladies. This is the bigger picture of what God's doing in our lives. Though the world comes and corrupts and tries to steal and call us and messes up, God says, I'm not going to get rid of you. I'm just going to fix you. And he takes that original thing and he starts molding it. And we're like, oh, too much pain on this side. And God's sitting there like, oh, I'm curving that out. It's going to be smooth and silky. Man, he knows what he's doing. He is molding you. He's not killing you. He is molding you so he can bring you into the place that he has for you. He is molding you for what he has for you. Jesus went to the cross and it was hard. Molding is sometimes hard. Pruning is not fun. Cutting away the old to make new for the new is not always fun, but it produces growth in our lives. Pulling the grave clothes off is not always fun, but it produces new life and new beginning and new clothes and a new walk and a new way for God to use us in his will. Yes, Jesus said at one time, take this cup from me. But then he immediately says, oh, not my will, but yours be done. Have you ever held the cup? Because I have, where it's been so painful and so hard. And you said, how can I freaking do this on my own? But you say, God, your will, not mine. It's not always going to be daisies. Sometimes it's thorns. But God's got a bigger plan. I came to a place in my life where I had to lay it down so he could live through me. So I could stand here this morning and proclaim that joy does come in the morning and that growth does appear and that the thorns do go away and you start smelling the roses. And God's got a plan for you, and he is doing something in your life, and it is for the greater good of not only your life, but those that surround you. Wow. Where do we go with little or less? Where do you persevere in struggle and conflict? Where do you have to let go so he can live in you? I think this is a daily battle. The Bible says, unless the seed falls to the ground and die, it will not bear fruit. Come on. Jesus is the best example of that. If he wouldn't have let himself fall to the ground and die, there would be no resurrection power and light that we would be walking in today. So unless the seed falls to the ground and die, it will not bear fruit. But just because you laid it down doesn't mean fruit doesn't come. Fruit is a result of the seed dying. Come on. Fruit is a result of the seed dying. There is good news ahead. Are you ready? Jesus eventually got off the cross and stepped out of the grave and ascended into heaven. Joseph got out of prison. He got out of Potiphar's house and was stopped being harassed and stepped into his role as chief advisor to the king. Job eventually stopped suffering and was given a second portion, a double portion, a good portion. If you've not read it, go to the end of Job. Jesus then ascended to the Father, and he rules and he reigns, and yes, he is at home. But most importantly, ladies, he is in his place at home. Come on, it's not always about getting home. Come on, it's about getting in your place at home. That is what it's all about. That is the journey. So when you get to heaven, God can say, well done, good and faithful servant. You did what you were called to do. Here's your prophetic robe. Here's your prophet's robe. Here's your teacher's robe. Here's your servant's robe. Here's your understanding and acknowledgement of good things robe. Whatever it is that he's calling you into. It's all about sitting in your place at home. Everybody wants a stage. Everybody wants a stage. You see it everywhere, but very few are willing to climb the stairs to get to it. And the stairs teach you how to get up to it. Come on. It teaches you what to do when you get up here. Hallelujah. It will be worth it. It will be worth every step. Everything you walk through, it will be worth it. It will be worth it. Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Life point, tweetable moment. Are you ready? Don't expect perfection, expect direction. And if you're my Facebook friend, you would have already known that. Because I posted it a couple days ago. Don't expect perfection, expect direction. Yes, Jesus came down to save us, but also to show us how to walk this thing out. Come on, ladies, how to walk this thing out. We got to remember the origin of humility and humbleness. We've got to trust God during the unexpected routes in our life. We got to grow. We got to give him that time and that season of growing. We got to come into our position with humility and under the authority of those that are surrounding us for our protection. We've got to show God's kindness to others. We've got to love God and love others. Spend time with Jesus. Give him the attention that he deserves and longs from you. And then we have to be willing to hold the cup, but knowing that God has got a bigger plan with that cup than we could possibly know. He does. He does. He does. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Jesus, for telling us so much about this journey. I thank you for teaching us because the people perish for lack of understanding. I thank you for teaching us and equipping us to know how to walk this journey that you have for us. Lord, that we may not miss the seat and the position that you have for us at home. That we may complete the good work. That we may finish the race marked out for us. Paul constantly confessed that he would do what God had called him to do because he was given a second chance at life and he didn't want to miss it. Father, that we may not miss it, that we may walk in that divine inspiration of the Word of God and know firsthand the steps to take, the people to bring in and the people to let go, to understand the seasons in life when God brings us and he taketh away. That we may know the power of your resurrection. That we may know, that we may know, that we may know you, God. Thank you for your word. It will not return void because your word says it. It will accomplish where it is sent, and it will prosper in the way it should go. Blessings upon these women, Lord. Blessings upon them in this spring season. That they would bear fruit spiritually as they see it in the natural around them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.